It's the Tailcast, episode 280, Shreklet.
And this week, guys, we talk Tyranny, Dishonor 2, and a little bit more Deus Ex Mankind Divided. Stay tuned.
I need sleep.
Chachos!
We're back.
God, that was horribly delayed.
Shit, what's the date?
Shit, today is the 20th.
Of November.
Of November.
And then we'll be posting this sometime in January, right?
20 days March. After they started actually... Hey, shut the fuck up. I just got that. What a dick. So...
Did you just get that, too? Because I'm pretty sure that means you're remedial.
Damn.
Graduate, top of my class, you're remedial.
We love you, Rusty.
Whatever. Now, today's the day. I walk into a place that's... and blaring goddamn Christmas music. I fucking hate... I walk in through Walmart, because Walmart is a classy place to walk through.
It is, but Rusty's a goddamn Grinch.
Oh my god. Dude, I fathered the fucking Grinch. It's fucking... He is...
Is the Grinch your bastard child?
Yes.
That's what came out of Rusty.
Well, I mean
make green, hairy, and ugly.
Furry, right?
So, why is he green? Did you have a love child with Shrek?
No, it was Shrek's wife. What was her name?
Fiona!
It was a Shreklet.
It was a Shreklet.
With a heart three sizes too small. Because... defects and whatnot. Anyway,
so let's say who's here.
Rusty,
I'm just going to introduce the whole cast. There's Rusty, Jason, Babs, and me, Nas, and John.
Wow, that was
quick. So, you know, absolutely different from every other week.
Hey, there's still a possibility it could be different.
We had a Mikey
have a Mikey last week.
We did.
Yesterweek.
But, you know, I want to go back to this whole Rusty having the same amount of hate for Christmas music as Tyrion Lannister has for everybody else.
Oh, basically. Personally, right now, I'm just glad everybody knows Mikey is an imaginary.
right?
He was very real. Oh my god.
I'm an imaginary friend.
Burl Ives is your worst enemy. And he's dead.
No, it's the Carpenters.
No, it's probably actually the Jackson 5.
Rusty's about to have apoplexy.
I hate it all. Oh, the Grinch was my movie. The only thing about the Grinch that really sucked is that in the end, he fucking turned that pussy. Fuck him.
Do you feel betrayed?
I do kind of feel betrayed. He should have fucking, burned the fucking village to the ground and danced on the fucking ashes.
He's not the Krampus.
Dude. I wanted to see it happen.
Dude.
I had such...
It's not Christmas yet. It's the week before Thanksgiving. It's the week before Thanksgiving. Let's get our holidays in order.
And you know what that means? That means fucking food, people.
Okay. All right.
So yesterday, I work... You guys know Bubba. We all know Bubba. He wants me to call him some names so that I feel better on the show. I'm not going to do that because he made some great food yesterday.
Yeah.
He made his version of mac and cheese.
I can imagine.
Bubba is a badass cook.
We've had
those of you who don't know.
Shit before. Man.
Here's what it is.
It's the furthest thing.
It's like four or five different cheeses and noodles, and it's so compressed and melted together, it turns into a block, and it's got meat in it. And it's just like, you can pick it up, and it's kind of, the texture is going to sound weird, it's almost like creamy and crumbly at the same time. You can literally just pick it up and bite into it like an apple.
He's a stupid fucking good cook. He made
two batches, which are in these turkey pans, and they're about 7 pounds piece.
Yeah,
like they were heavy, and we had about almost 40 people over there. We had more than that. We had about 60 people this weekend. There's three batches because he made one for that team too. So 21 pounds, of, let's just say 20 pounds of mac and cheese.
That's great.
Completely gone before the night was over.
And not a person shit for a week.
there's probably a lot of gas issues going on, but it's pretty delicious. I had some of it. And he also made, this is kind of sad, for people that are not in the South, they don't know what a sweet potato pie is.
Uh-huh.
But he made a sweet potato pie.
It basically tastes like pumpkin pie.
Well, his basically tastes better than pumpkin pie.
Well, his, everything he makes tastes better than everything everybody else makes.
But it had, like, he was saying, oh, it's got too much nutmeg in it.
For him to still be single, he's got to be a serial killer.
I wouldn't go that far.
Because his cooking is that good.
Well, fuck.
Like, his cooking is so good, it would make up for everything except him being
Bubba just doesn't care about being attached anymore. Fair. I know Bubba well enough to say that.
Fair.
Well, he's already got his
Bubba,
kids.
Bubba, we love you, darling.
He's already got his kids, his grandkids. He's content. He's happy. He is Santa Claus.
Yeah, he is.
Then I cannot imagine.
I mean, the dude looks like the spinning image of fucking
Santa
Claus.
He really does. I cannot imagine the women who must throw themselves at him for his cooking alone.
It's his blonde clawness.
Well, it is.
Never trust
he's blondie claws.
He's like a hippie Santa Claus, though, because he's got the long hair and the big beard and he's blonde.
But he plays it well.
But
Bubba Claus.
Every time he did at that place we all used to work together, he fills that suit perfectly.
Yeah, but I still can't unsee the pink tutu. I still can't unsee the pink tutu.
Yeah, Bubba is secure in his manhood.
Yes, he is.
Extremely secure.
I actually had that picture on my desk.
It was posted on the walls for the longest time.
His mother keeps that picture on her desk at her workplace.
As she should.
Wow.
The customer service fairy.
As she should.
But that being said, so like, yeah.
You all had good food this weekend. I'm
seriously
jealous.
Yeah, I didn't eat a whole lot because I still wanted shit.
Well, when you can pick up mac and cheese like a block
like
of
I'm
cheese.
Just sitting here trying to diet, and then he comes in with this shit, and I'm like, I see him because we use an app called GroupMe for work, and he's posting all the shit that he's doing, and I'm just like, oh my fucking god, I'll be able to, I can stay my diet right now. I'm gonna have to put it on hold. There's no way I'm going to escape this. And I'm sure he's going to bring in more shit throughout the week.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
See, oh, yeah. It's his favorite holiday. He loves Thanksgiving. Like, he had to have it off. So, like, he's definitely not working Thanksgiving. But I can assure you that, like, the days leading up, there's going to be something else that he cooks.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Dude, no. Just wait until he makes brownies or fudge.
Oh, my fucking God. That peach cake?
Oh.
Holy fucking orgasmic dessert, Batman.
And the man knows how to make apple pie and make it well.
Yes, he does.
And eating it is better than the American Pie scene where the kid fucks it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
because that's just sticky in the wrong way.
I don't know. I've never tried it, but I have tried
Bubba's parts.
Pie, and it's fucking...
If you ever tried it, I'd be scared.
No, you wouldn't.
I just don't know. No.
Weird places.
No. No.
That's what I'm here for.
God damn it. My mind is running rampant right now.
I'm just trying to imagine how...
Strap on.
Just fucked up the shape of this pie would have to be.
You know, if it was one of those Hostess pies, that would work better.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
With the glaze.
You could do that.
With the glaze. You gotta have the glaze, because, you know...
Reasons.
Smoother. It's smoother.
God damn, this went dark real
quick. I don't know where to
find it. Boy, this went downhill quickly.
Where did we go?
So series of unfortunate events. Might as well say it now. Justin may not be here next three episodes.
He might not.
So, just so you know, if you're not here, this is pretty much all the episode's going to be.
And I'm not going to be able to corral these two.
It's going to be anarchy, motherfuckers.
I need you, man. We need you to fucking work this out, because I don't know if I could survive the table here.
Well,
you know, you can go out in the hall like you did for the Real Doll episode, and we'll be okay.
Yeah, okay.
Well, we got this.
Let's just lay it out straight, though. So, like, here's what's going on. Rusty's got a new job, and he's on call. Jason's got additional responsibilities. Babs has got a new job with her own responsibilities. And I work a shift right now because coverage in my group, we're in a pilot group, is spread thin. I I'm now closing on the weekends, meaning I'm working till almost midnight. I work myself to a mid-shift during the early part of the week, and then I open on Wednesday. So, like, I have an extremely varied, you know, schedule right now. And that doesn't even come to effect or count into effect that I have possibly additional interviews I have to do because I'm working on a promotion at work. And I just took on additional responsibilities at work again. So it's...
What he's telling you is that all of our lives are fucking stupid.
Right now, yeah, they're kind of fucked.
Like, we are trying our best to be on time, and we apologize, but it has been a fucking ride at the end of the year.
Yeah, yeah. It is.
It's everything at once right now, and we're doing our best. We are.
Yeah, I'm working on it. And I had time planned this week to get everything caught up. I was looking so forward to it. Had everything all prepped. And then the bomb drops, and they say, oh, yeah, you need to work an extra 2 hours this week. 2 hours, no. 5 hours, no. 9 hours, no. 17 fucking hours, yes. And it just happens whenever they want.
So I'm going to I'm gonna share something with you real quick.
Yeah,
so
I know you work more than I do.
No, I didn't. Okay. I didn't actually. But I'm going to show you something.
Okay, cool.
I worked a closing shift, an opening shift,
yes,
two mid shifts, and I put in about 50 hours.
Dude.
And I put in 65 hours of gaming this week.
Jesus Christ, how do you sleep?
He's not sleeping.
Here's the plan to success as a gamer, as an adult. If you have an incredible release schedule. Now, thank God I don't have to write out reviews right now, because if I was actually in that position, I would be proper fucked.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you how to do it. So the
proper
way that,
fuck is always a good idea.
Well,
it
could be in certain circumstances, but not like this. Well, anyways. So, the analogy's going sideways quick.
Right?
What happens is you just don't watch any TV.
No TV?
That's true.
Do you realize, so I basically know exactly like what exactly or most of what's happened with The Walking Dead, and I'm normally an avid watcher, but when life calms down, that's when I watch TV, and when life ramps up, not really because I do the show, I actually like gaming more than I like watching television. Now, everybody has different things that they can do, but let me give you a sample day, Rusty.
Okay.
So, I'll give you a sample day of me working a mid. Sample day working a mid and closing the night before. The night before I close, I get home at about 11:45 or maybe midnight or maybe midnight 30. Let's say I get here at a respectable hour of 11:45.
Okay, so, he was just mathing, and math adds up to about 7 hours worth of sleep a night.
Possible.
If you slept every night.
I'm sitting here going, how the fuck? Oh, yeah, maybe. That's possible.
I usually sleep less than 7. So, what I do...
He also doesn't have to do anything additional once he gets home.
Yeah, I do.
What?
I haven't mowed the lawn, and that needs to be done, but I usually do the dishes and I vacuum, and I actually, like,
but this I'm whole saying, treatment. If you do have a week where you just say, fuck it to all that, though.
Well, then I'd actually have more hours of gaming, to be honest with you.
Okay. Yeah.
So 65 might have been in a stretch, but I'll tell you what I completed.
Okay.
So I'll tell you what my Dishonored playtime is.
Okay.
I'll tell you what my playtime's are, right?
All right.
I started Tyranny last week.
Okay.
And I had about 4 hours in. If you look at my playtime on Tyranny, it's at about 32 hours. Okay?
Okay.
So
let's say
30 hours, because I got 2 hours in.
Okay.
My Dishonored playtime right now is at 26 hours.
Okay.
So math that out. That's 56 hours, right? And I almost finished a campaign in Civ of about 7 hours.
Okay.
So the way that you do this is I did about 2 hours the night that I closed, because I can't just go home and just like face hits pillow and fall asleep. Occasionally that happens to me because I work myself to exhaustion and I will get home and just face plant into pillow and be dead.
That's pretty much what I was this week.
So there are times that happens. But I put in, so I'd stay up to about 1:30. So that's an hour and a half, 2 hours that I put in that night. Maybe 2 o'clock. So maybe 2 hours. And then I get up, and then I got to be at work at 10. So, and that means leaving here by 9:30. And you know the male getting ready pattern is, for me, it's, you're going to laugh. So, trying to be on my diet, throw 4 strips of bacon in the oven, scramble an egg, put it on
you said
oven.
You and your fucking first world problems. I'm on a diet, so I eat 4 strips of fucking bacon for breakfast.
It's better than what I get right now, so I'm learning.
So
His diamond shoes are too tight, too. Oh,
so, like, if I know that I have limited time, it's make some sausage patties. So, like, 3 sausage patties and bacon in the oven. Take a shower. Come out of, and after I get out of shower, eat breakfast while I game. So this is like
for you.
30 minutes total spent for getting ready and everything else. But I got up at 7, so I either slept 5 or 6 hours that night. And so I got up at 7, got ready, had everything ready. I have 2 more hours that I can game. If I get off at a reasonable hour between around 8 o'clock and I get home, make dinner real quick, or I do the thing where I smoke and I have like shitloads of dinner all over the place, right? And it's just eating up dinner. Then it's, I can game from 8 to 2 or 8 to 1. So, or close to that. So I can get another 5 or 6 hours. So in that 24-hour time frame, just from getting off work till then, I've put in 10 hours of gaming.
You, my friend, are a god.
Oh, I'm not.
He's really not.
What I'm the looking at right now is... The rest of us are underwhelmed. So you cook the scrambled egg in the oven while you take a shower.
I've done that before.
Okay. I'm trying to work this out here.
I usually do it as a sausage scramble with it. So I'll brown the sausage, mix it in with the egg, basically put it in a pallet inside between the bacon because that's just amazing. And then I can just scoop it all out at once because it's at like 350 degrees. And then, you know, just pat it off, pat it dry, and then I got like breakfast ready to go.
While you're gaming. And taking a shower. All right, so I'm... You know what? My morning...
Let's say that doesn't happen, right?
Well, yeah.
So then I spent an hour total making breakfast, getting ready, taking a shower, watching something, or the news, or whatever. I hate watching the news anyway.
Right.
Checking so the weather depressing. Report, whatever. Right? All in the morning, or I'm checking gaming news, because to me, it's more interesting. But you know what I'm saying? And then I usually get in, like, I'm a little bit behind on podcasts right now, so I'm behind on Carousel, behind on Giant Bomb, behind on BMF, and I'm behind on the quarters.
I'm behind on ours, so I understand.
So, you know, but that's that day. And then on my day that I'm off, so I usually have to keep track of work even while I'm here, so yeah. I usually do all that on my phone. I play a lot of turn-based games, so like Dishonored, I'm playing in stints of an hour or two, maybe 3, but I was playing a lot of Tyranny. So Tyranny's a turn-based, sort of turn-based. It's active pause, right? There's a lot of conversation. So check my phone, check my email, check the running list of text messages and respond to that while I'm in mid-turn on stuff. I don't have enough time. I'll tell you, this style of gaming, I don't have time to do online multiplayer competitive gaming because there's going to be a lot of stops.
Right.
And on the days that I'm cooking for the week, or smoking as it is, just check on it every hour, go out there, check my water, make sure that I guess still got smoke going on. You know, make sure my food's at the correct temp. Make sure the smoker's at the correct temp. Walk back inside. You know, that kind of stuff.
Okay. Yeah.
But I just constantly go.
Teach me, master. Teach me.
Oh, shut the fuck up. You're such a dick.
Dude, I'm just saying. If
you calculated how many hours of Netflix you've watched in the last month.
That's probably what's
going on. How many seasons have you watched?
Okay, so I've gone through... I've watched Marco Polo, all of it.
How many episodes is that?
That's 20 episodes.
How long are they a piece?
Anywhere between 45 to an hour.
So that's 20 hours? What else have you watched?
I know. What my problem is that when I have time, I will sit down and I'll watch an episode, maybe 2, and I've got something going on while I'm, you know, while I'm cooking or whatnot. And for me, it's easier for me to pause a show and go do something. Sometimes I'll pause a show and have to go to work, come back, and I can, you know, pick up where I left off. But in my mind, when I want to sit down and game, and it might be just my old WoW mentality, if I'm going to sit down and play a game, I'm going to be playing it nonstop for a period of time.
I played WoW the same way. Like, I play in these chunks, and then I'd set about aside the larger chunks for the things that took longer, like a raid or a dungeon or something like that. Or if it was a dungeon on farm, you know, it was like 20 minutes to run this run, you know?
Rusty's playing footsie with me.
You put your foot in my foot space.
It's not in your foot space.
Yes.
I can't even put my feet in other people's foot space. I'm 5'1".
So you're stretching.
Shit, that's a point.
All right, so...
It's chunking stuff out instead of doing it all at once. The only time I play all at once is on my weekends, but I still got shit to do. I have errands to run.
Yeah.
So it's like I was playing Dishonored, but I ended up running to Walmart like 4 times over the weekend. So I'd run, do something, come back, turn it back on, get back to it, and back and forth. Or like these nights that have been closing, I'm still waking up at like 7. There was one morning I woke up at like 9 because my body was just like, fuck you. You're tired. You went to bed at 2. You must sleep till 9. But typically, I mean, tonight I'm going to go to bed at about 1:30 or 1, and then I'm going to wake up again about 7, maybe 8.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's changed a lot since I live the exact same way.
Only with kids.
Only with kids, so I don't get that free time.
You just have to put them to bed earlier. Benadryl.
Thanks, nap time.
Chloroform.
No, sorry, actually, I
want you to reach into the jar and grab your rag.
Actually,
breathe deeply.
I was tired enough today that when the 2-year-old passed out, I passed out.
I don't know what naps are, so I'll say that much. Occasionally, my batteries do run so low that I hit like nap time and I just have to.
Mm.
But then I hate myself because then I can't sleep.
I did the same thing. Another thing that I have to battle is every so often migraines will happen. So I'll have a plan for an entire day. Like today, I had a plan for today. And I get, I get up, I cook my breakfast, I start cleaning up, and I'm trying to work out my bills because, I mean, new place, new bills, right? And I get through to the point where I fill out my timesheet online, and then it hits me. And then, all right, so what kind of mindless shit can I put up on on the screen before, and I'm trying to work through it. So I watch YouTube of game theorists because I just I need something right, and then I realize that there's no working through this. I'm out for like 4 hours. And this is what happens to me when I have fucking plans. Something fucking says no, you don't. Guess what? You're gonna pass out on your really really comfy bed because that's fucking amazing. But yeah, oh god, I love my new bed. And that's probably another thing. I really like my sleep, so I can't do 4 or 5 hours of sleep. I mean, I could do it for a couple days, but
I have this weird mentality that as I'm sleeping, I'm losing parts of my life. So I'm not even kidding.
Wow,
there is a part in my mind so active when I go to bed, like I have a really hard time. So this is my sleep ritual, and I know I'm weird, right? I actually get to bed, close my eyes, and I think as much about nothing as possible until I get bored and pass out. Like, wow. I think about nothing. I focus on nothing. I focus on moving all distractions out, and usually I pass out within about 30 minutes. And occasionally, I'll run into a point where I've had so much stimulation throughout the day that I just can't sleep, and I'll be up all night just thinking about shit. I got this thing at work. I got to work out. I had a report at work that, so like going into these interviews, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to figure out why we're losing people and if it's tied to certain things, right? So I look at the statistics and I do statistical math and figure out within probability negative relationships to these things, or inverse relationships, right? So if X goes up, then Y goes down. And so I still was thinking about that after I started working on that on Wednesday night, and I continued to think about it into the night, and it traveled over into my meeting the next day, and I had everything figured out, and I remembered almost all of it to the point where I was told, all right, we get that you know this. What do you want to do about it? It's like, oh, yeah, I got to flip this. So I'm just going to flip my paper over and just start talking. And then I started talking about, like, why, X and Y were related and why we're focusing on the wrong things. And just math proves my point. Like, this is something, there's a relationship within a statistical means when I got an 85% relationship with this, the 84.9736. And you think I'm, like, kidding. I remember that, like, from that sleep, right? So, like, I'm remembering this shit, and this is what I'm trying to tell these people who don't math, like, I do. And I'm not like, I just know that nobody else except for you guys know John. He's the only one. I was texting him that night. I was like, this is what I think the relationship is. We're both going for the same position. I was like, maybe there's something to this. And then he started doing the same thing. And he went at it a little bit different angle. And he did kind of the same thing. We all know he's a math nerd. And I know he's smarter than me in math. But, like, I just went back to this weird part of myself and I started thinking about that shit. And I just couldn't sleep. And that night I even gamed trying to, like, completely think about something different. And then I started thinking about, like, the motivations of my character and why they're doing what they're doing. And just stupid shit.
And that's,
and I can't wind down.
Well, and that was me while I was in college. When I was taking classes, my mind was racing all the fucking time. And I was having trouble trying to sleep because I would be worried about one of, like, 18 different projects going on, or whether or not my fucking group mates were going to fuck me again, or you know, what kind of problems I have to do. I have to
rethink my prioritization, and I rethink my prioritization on the things that I do. Then I realize what equals fun. And what equals fun for me is gaming, so I'm just like, okay, so I know that I can do this in about this amount of time, and then if I clear my schedule here at this time at work, then I can do that. I used to be so OCD at work that I used to plan every 30-minute chunk at work. And I got away from that finally.
True, and he color-coded the shit out of it, and he spent 2 hours doing it.
Well, I spent about an hour pre-planning how I'm going to do it, but now I have 5 schedules that work for me, so for me to work around my agent needs and do it, I have to let it float a little bit and just say I'm doing... going to work with these people this day and these people this day instead of, like, have a 30-minute block.
It must be nice to plan all that shit, you know, plan all that shit out when you can, you know, when you know that you're going to have this shit to, you know, to do.
I thought that was the case, but it doesn't work that way anymore.
Well, see, and...
Because I might have a meeting that I thought was 30 minutes that turns into 2 hours.
Well, and that's kind of what I'm doing with my tech work at, you know, at the data center. I could go in Monday. This is how my week could be. I could go in Monday, sit down on my computer, look at the call queue for tech issues, and have it be completely empty for 7 hours of the day. I'm sitting there with my thumb up my ass for 7 fucking hours bullshitting. Last fucking hour of the day, the world ends for 18 different companies, and they all push all these freaking, you know, trouble tickets to me. And part of my job is to, you know, to categorize, make sure, check the severity of each one of those problems, and then work on them. And the relief might be one person at night, so whereas we have 4 people during the day, one person at night can't do 18 things at the same time, so I have to kind of work that out. The uncertainty of what I have is that I can never plan for anything. You know, if I have my shift at, you know, if it's an 8-to-5 shift, I might end up working an extra 8 hours in the day to make up for all the shit that happens last minute. So I can't ever plan for things. And because I can't ever plan for things, it's breaking my normal cycle. Because before I was going to class, I would have a specific amount of time that I would, you know, set aside for doing homework at home, a couple hours, and then I would game for however long I could. Now I just don't have that. And it's a change that I have to work through, and so I only had a couple months worth of this, you know, and it's only ramping up. It's only ramping up from here because I started off with very, very little responsibility, and I'm adding more and more as I go. So you could dog me all the fuck you want for not, you know, setting aside some time for gaming, but I'm still trying to work it out.
So, speaking of gaming, what do you think of Tyranny?
Tyranny's in my top 5 this year.
Seriously?
Hands the fuck down.
Can I have Tyranny, please?
Tyranny's good. And so, some people, like, I've read through Steam comments, right? And I've read through Metacritic comments for different user reviews. Some people are praising it as an oversimplistic CRPG because of the combat system, but I think it's easily, on the story side, one of the most complex story arcs that I've seen in a game in a long time. Why would you say it's complex? For all the reasons that I talked about before. So I wrapped it up, right?
Right.
I played a class that was very multi-class. It ended before I thought, but set it up for a total sequel. So it ended, so it just, like, it almost just ends. You make a big decision, and then I thought I was going for like some kind of final boss battle of sorts. Mm-hmm. And then it basically says, here's all the events and all the big choices you made and how they affect the world. And we're done.
And you're it. That's it.
And that's Bye. It. And yeah. It's totally setting it up for a sequel. So
nice.
It's the reason Tyranny is so good. I mean, the graphics are so-so. I mean, it's a top-down RPG that was made on a budget, but it's not. It's made by the same people who made Pillars of Eternity. Obsidian is fucking fantastic with the writing. And I would...
They've always been
fantastic. I want to say it's got to be Josh Sawyer's got to have a big part of this. I don't know for sure. But it feels like he did. But long story short, that's like the wrong analogy for this. You make so many different choices about the things that you do that, and it does have impact on the world. Like, little conversations you have impact. Everything's about being the bad guy, but it's so much more complex than just being the bad guy. I know that Babs has dogged me for a long time about playing the bad character.
Yes.
And I played a lawful evil character in this game. Total lawful evil. And I had a fun time doing it. It was satisfying. It wasn't evil in the way that you'd play in like an open world RPG like Fallout and you just kill the NPCs. Because we talked about the problems that I've had with that. It's lawful evil in that you're coming into power. So the world is full of the Overlord. The Overlord is the person who's lived for millennia and has not died. And the way that she pushes forward her troops is she sets up an edict. And an edict is a blight of sorts on the land.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to end the blight, you are driven forward before the blight catches up to you. So she moves her troops that way, and she has major factions that are doing that. And throughout the course of the game, you have the choice of siding with these factions, siding with none of these factions, siding with the enemy factions, or straight up just kind of doing your forging your own path. You can play good, and there is some reward for playing good, but I wanted to play something different. But I had choices that were... Like, in order to end this edict, there's a place where I had to kill a kid. And it was like, do you kill this child because he's the heir to this area? Or do you find a different way? I felt that was the one part of me that was a little bit good. I was like, I'm not going to kill the child. I'm going to find a different way. And I found a way to circumvent his coronation, essentially, right?
Yeah, so figured, but you're a little bit ridiculous about it. I mean, I just really want to watch you play a game sometime and just be a total asshole for the sake of being an asshole.
Well, I was being an asshole. Like, I committed acts of genocide. Like, I was pretty bad.
But you were kind of supposed to for the sake of the game.
Well, but you...
I want to see you go through a game where you have the choice to either be an asshole or be good, and you choose to be an asshole.
Well, I did. That was part of the point. So, like, part of the point, too, was, like... So you're taking over these tiers, right? And these tiers are these pillars, these big towers that you have to figure out a riddle, and you get to the top of the tower, and then it unlocks some things for you, right? So it unlocks different people that'll train, different items that you can buy, but it also inflects, and it adds influence to you. So you have a power rating based on how many tiers you've raised, and it sets a circle of influence for that area of the map for now that you control it. So you're becoming... You're working your way towards being, you know, a major player in the political power struggle of the land. And that could be wiping out everybody else, like literally wiping them out, or it could be outsmarting them, or deceiving them, or throwing them under the bus. Because at a certain point, you're also the judge and jury for a lot of these people, too, based on the evidence that you're finding. So you have to find evidence against these people based on how you play the game. And the two major factions are not all the major factions. There's another like three or four that are the opposing factions that also live in this area that you could side with and then eventually take yourself up against the Overlord.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could choose the side of the Overlord through and through. So it may not be the final boss battle, right? It's mm-hmm. The next game is deciding how you take over the area. So, and it has this whole setup process at the beginning of the game that goes through all these major choices that you make. And it's almost filmed. I don't know what it is, but it's like you have these pucks on a war board, right? And it slides a puck up. Here's the city. How did you assault the city, and how did you take it over? Here's the choice. Here's the two choices you have. Each of those two choices splinters into like 3, 4, 5, 6, or 7 choices. And each one of those factors into the dialogue you have throughout the rest of the game based on how you do the setup. So those factions that you help, or, like, you could have chose to wipe out this one area and wipe this knowledge from the land that you didn't. you chose to let these people know that you were going to raise their city in lava, or you chose to just completely wipe them out, and that faction is no longer part of the game whatsoever. Like, there's these huge choices you set up, and then a bunch of smaller yet very impactful choices you make throughout the rest of the game. It was just the... I feel like it was the smartest written choose-your-own-adventure game that I've ever played.
Huh.
It's, that part appeals to me.
It's all about reading, and there's a good chunk of the dialogue that's voiced. And I played a total weird class of character. The class of character I picked was a guy that threw javelins that also had magic and also had a amazing dodge and parry. So he could off-tank, and he could also range. And then he also had these magic abilities that reinforced or buffed the rest of my team. So he was a very odd class. I don't know what class that is. But he specialized in ranged thrown, which there's... I don't know what D&D class that is.
Ranger, probably.
But he wasn't even a ranger, right? And he was a lawbreaker, so my character was broke out of prison. And because I was broke out of prison, I was broke out of prison because of my strong reasoning skills or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So those factors into the different choices I'd make. I'd be like, I'm calling bullshit on that because of X, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I've done that before, and that's not how it works. You're actually going through the battle, like I call it a merchant. So he's arrested for not having a license to sell shit, basically, right, by these soldiers, and I come upon this area. I tell him, you're simply scavenging the battlefield and reselling these men their armor and cleaning it up and repainting it. You're full of shit, and I'm going to execute you for that. So, like, there's that kind of thing. But I could use Scepterfuge, which is another skill I have, which kind of factors into the rogue tree. And so I use Scepterfuge to get money out of him for me to silence him, and then I beheaded him. So
he paid you to kill him.
He paid me to pay me off. And then I ended up killing him in the end.
Jeez.
So I was that guy that would tell people, yeah, you're safe, you're safe, you're safe. Steal their money and then move on.
That sounds like a dick move.
Fair.
Yeah. See,
the only nice thing I did in the game.
This case.
The only nice thing I ever did in the game is I figured out the rules. So I went to a library and figured out the rules for what do you call that? Successorhood or what is it called?
The
succession.
The rules for succession for this certain kingdom, right? So that I could figure out how this, I could illegitimize the person succeeding to, or the person coming up to the throne so I didn't have to kill a baby. So I figured out how to do that to end the edict. So I did it within Kairos law because I used another law of the land to do it. So I was able to successfully end the edict. But I broke a bunch of rules along the way. So every time you make these big decisions, you go up before a judge. And he tells you what you did right and what you did wrong. And then it's up to how you make the choices in the dialogue that you have. If you can outsmart him, or at least the game's really smart at making you feel like you outsmarted him, you can make some choices that somehow I would bend the rules and then make a case for myself as to why I was okay to bend those rules. Because it's still aligned with the ideals of the kingdom, I was able to bend these rules this way, and it's still in the end justified the means. Because it still was within this part of the law.
That sounds like he's. I don't know. I think that he succeeded in actually playing a deck.
It's about goddamn time.
So, anyways, like, but it was pretty fun because it was a different experience for me, and I just haven't had an experience playing the bad guy in a game where there was some reward for it. And the reward for this is I felt like I was playing it smarter than others.
Well, and I kept telling you because like. He would do these storyline things and, like, say there would be a character that was hitting on him and she was married. So he wouldn't go for it because she was married. I'm like,
Wait, what?
She's pixels.
Oh, she's talking
what
about
the fuck?
What game was that?
I don't even remember.
Not this game. There's not really any love interest in this
no,
game.
No, but he was has it, these morals when it comes to fictitious characters that are really, yeah. I'm like, just virtually fuck her. Come on. That was
basically Witcher so 1 strange. For me. I'm just saying, if there was an option, I was collecting cards.
But what I'm just saying is tyranny.
I fucked everything fuckable in Witcher 3. I mean,
and then, yes, I remember that. And then at the end of the
game, then I got Geralt tied down to a bed. I mean... and left wanting.
It was still a good scene, though. Mm-hmm. That was a really good scene.
Oh, is there a scene where if you...
If you fuck both the chicks, if you fuck
Triss and Yennefer,
yeah. if you do both of them, they will team up, tie Geralt to the bed, and walk out of the room. play amongst themselves, and then walk out of the room.
There you go.
Payback. Still a good time. And drug him to sleep.
Yeah,
and send who else other than.
Fucking the bard.
Dandelion. Dandelion to go get him the next morning.
Awesome. But Tyranny, very solid game. That's been one of my favorite experiences this year. It's been so unique. Like, I've even seen people, I've made my decisions on the game. I was playing it, you know, and I'd seen some reviews. Some people saying, oh, I'm not so sure about this. And I think, maybe people are having a hard time playing the bad guy, or some people saying, oh, the battle system's not the best. It really isn't the best. It's got a really cool spellcrafting system, and I did all right on the battles enough to where I beat the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there was some definite micromanagement that had to go on at certain points because I was getting my ass ripped. But, yeah, the combat's so-so. There's some cool abilities. I talked about the combo abilities.
Right.
But the, I even forged relationships between two of my characters, you know, challenge them to see past their differences enough that they might work together enough as a team by basically challenging their egos, saying, well, I don't think you guys can do it because you guys both are too stubborn and you guys would suck as a team. So by challenging, you know, the bravado of the male character, he decides to work with a female character of the opposing faction, and they get a team-up ability, which is completely different, which is really fucking cool.
Sweet.
But, yeah, just all the different abilities and passives and active abilities you unlock by the choices that you make in the game, it is really fucking deep. I haven't seen any AAA games that challenge the way that I think about the storyline or how complex the storyline arcs were. And this game came out of fucking nowhere. I heard about it a month before I played it. What are you grinning about?
I'm sorry.
Are you looking at fat material over there?
No. Definitely not. It's a game that's on Steam that I just kind of came across.
Oh my god.
What?
Genital jousting.
I was looking for Tyranny and this pops up.
It popped up, huh?
Oh my god. Oh, some things you just can't unsee.
Yes. Genital jousting?
Yes! It is. It's graphic.
Wow.
Is it pixelated?
No, it's not.
No, but it is cartoony.
It is very cartoony, and it's just a bunch of penises jousting each other.
What the fuck?
With pill power ups.
Are they blue?
Yes. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to derail you. It's just...
I don't know what to say.
Some things you just can't unsee. Oh, there it is. Tyranny. I gotta put
that...
How
did you get G?
No, when I went into my discovery queue on Steam, that's what happened. So...
What the fuck?
I don't know how it freaking came up like this. But yeah. That happened, and I regret every moment I was looking at that. add to wish list. Now, which one did you get? Did you get the...
I got the basic one.
The Commander Edition?
The other stuff just has a bunch of digital stuff.
Ah, okay. All right.
Wallpapers.
$44.99. I don't know. It looks pretty good.
It has some cool effects.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. Son of a bitch. All right.
It's worth it. It's going to make it into my Game of the Year discussion here in a couple months.
And
it's
you need to stop giving spoilers.
What did I spoil?
Your like talking about what's making into the game of the year.
Well, I mean, it's in the discussion. I mean, there's a lot of things that ends up in the discussion.
Jesus, how many times did you just go through
that? I don't know.
Hot, Rusty. This is why I've been playing footsies with you.
Oh, yeah? Is that turn you on? God damn.
So, yeah, Tyranny's pretty good. I can't say enough good things about it, and I don't feel like it'll be a game that's covered a lot because it came out the same time Dishonored came out.
Right. And this, it is, I mean, it's smaller. I mean, I didn't know about this prior to, you know, to the release. You did, but I didn't. So
I only knew about it because I follow Obsidian on Facebook and Twitter, and they were blowing up Twitter with, we just released this game.
But yeah, I mean, it's got an 82 on Metacritic. Not that I really follow a whole lot of Metacritics. You know, it's
got a 9 out of 10 on Steam.
Right. So that is another one that's, you know, you can't really follow, but it does have a very positive overall user review. So another thing you really can't follow. So all of these things.
People tend to get pissed about one thing and then just
go off on it. Yeah. And everybody just follows along. We don't want any buyout.
It's just different. I don't think that, and the art style is really cool. It's kind of got the same art style as, you remember the promo art for Dragon Age 2?
Yes.
It almost has that kind of hard-edged style to it.
Nice.
But yeah, I mean, it's, there's a good screenshot.
I like it. It's very purple, but I like
it. It's exceedingly purple.
Each of the different areas kind of has their own theme based on the edicts that had happened, right? But yeah, it's, I was really, really impressed. And I've just, I mean, that looks fucking cool, right?
Yeah. I mean, I saw some of the video for this, just, you know, looking at the page.
The character animation is a little herky-jerky. I mean, let's just throw out the bad along with the good, right? But,
well,
but just like, this game is a little bit about the combat and a whole lot about the actual story.
Right. And I can't really fault a game based off of some herky jerky, you know, animations. I mean, I had a lot of fun with Wasteland 2, and I mean the animations for that were fairly basic, you know? So I can't really fault a game for that. You know, the game's true quality is in its world building. It's a way it tells its story, how many, you know, what the story is really. And I've always kind of been story, you know, for story driven games, not necessarily eye candy.
Yeah, I like a storyline. Yeah.
Well, and it's very much a story driven game. I mean, it's just, I haven't, Dragon Age doesn't succeed in being this varied in what happens. I mean, essentially Dragon Age is very focused on what it's going to do. This isn't open-ended on the level of, like, the world itself. I mean, yeah, you could go to the different areas. There's not a lot of, quote-unquote, dungeons in this game. But it's all, the story is super open-ended on how you can play it. So it's just, that's where your open-endedness, and it's not just, let's create a big sandbox. It's just, it's like you took the Bible of Choose Your Own Adventure. You took, like, 6,000 pages of text, and you went through and said, all right, if you make this decision on page 200, flip over to page 6,233 and go through, and this is the outcome of your actions.
I have very fond memories of my Choose Your Own Adventure
books. But only
books.
Somebody that's probably right? In their 30s and older is going to understand what that is.
Right, the Choose Your Own Adventure books were...
That's what we were doing, like, but you know, some of us who weren't even allowed to play Dungeons & Dragons did a lot of Choose Your Own Adventure.
Right.
Because... Mom flip didn't understand that it was basically Dungeons and Dragons.
Flip to page 82, and on page 82, all it says is you've been eaten by a shrew.
right. They're like, the dog, you're the one that twisted.
See, I was
made.
More the Colossal right. Cave Adventure girl. I'm even more retro than that.
Yeah, and really almost nobody knows what that is.
I know! It's tragic.
So this is what I want to do. I want to have, I want to get a game. Just give me a game. that's not $50 fucking, because I don't know if I can afford it right now, but I need a game that I can go through and play. And I will make it my...
You have Mankind Divided sitting there.
I know. But Mankind Divided, you've played, he's played, we've already talked about it. If I go through and play it, then it's really basically, oh yeah, you guys are right. Cool. End of discussion.
True. Speaking of which, I did finish that.
Yeah?
Yes.
How do you feel about it after you did, after you're done?
My opinion doesn't really change. It's still the best one out of the franchise.
I think it's pretty fucking good.
It is. Did you try damn
to
also, good.
Did you try to it, ghost the whole thing, or did it, you go violent? Or
oh no, I ghosted the whole thing.
You figured out how to which take down the mech.
Lots of save scumming.
How'd you figure out how to take down the RoboCops?
Oh, I didn't even fuck with them.
Oh, you I didn't have to.
Yeah, I went around all of it.
Well, you can. I want to say you can knock them out if you.
If you EMP them,
yeah,
and then you can, and you go to their back, you can disable them.
Right, which is kind of pain in the ass.
Yeah, so I didn't even fuck with it. I mean, I fucked with one of them inside the holding area in Golem City, but I didn't. Outside of that, no, I pretty much went around them all the time.
I don't know what to recommend to you right now, Rusty.
Dude, I'm checking. Like, I'm looking for, you know, something, you know. It doesn't even have to be a...
You got Civ.
Yeah, and I could do some of that, and I could probably, you know... That's another game I can save and do. I've done that before, but...
That falls within what you're used to doing.
Yeah, but...
Playing an hour at a time.
Yeah. I was looking for something different. No, I know what you guys are thinking. And I'm not going to play Genital Jousting just because.
I didn't say it.
Nobody was going to say it.
Everybody else was.
Extra Life, Genital Jousting for 24 hours.
What?
No.
No. No. Don't show warning on products. What? What is this? Sandbox first person walk simulator. Nah, never mind. So, yeah. I don't know what to do.
Well, we'll figure that out later. Maybe we can figure it out on the break. Because going through Steam on my phone is like the worst thing ever.
Serious Sam VR.
So. I can talk about something else. Sure. I'm not going to reiterate Civ until I beat it. I'm pretty close to the exact same spot I was before. A little bit of a slog right now. Pretty good game. Don't know it's good, but I've played a lot of Civ. I'm going to go on to Dishonored because I am up to, I think, the last mission in there.
Son of a bitch.
I'm playing as the chick.
Right.
There's Shadow Warrior 2. That's still kind of expensive.
Right.
I think it's $35 or something.
I'm just going to fucking re-up WoW.
No.
That's what's going to happen. I'm going to re-up WoW, and then you'll just never see me, you know, again. That's what will happen. Is I'll resurrect my freaking druid, and I'll play through that, and, you know, what is life? I don't need a job.
You can play the first pockets. Episode of Hitman.
Oh, thanks. Because I haven't freaking railed on Hitman enough.
I'm actually thinking about playing it. But
I won't play that game until it's done.
It's done.
No, like, done, as in a complete game.
It's a complete game.
As all in, the episodes like, all are of them everything's together.
Released. Yeah, everything's released.
Everything's released for
Black Friday, you can get it, I think, for $30 even. The whole thing.
From
Xbox Store.
So, maybe.
Yeah, it's $30 for the whole thing.
If I haven't If I still have another podcast disdain for that.
Another podcast that I give large amounts of merit for helping us start the show.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly Mackie. No Quarters. He's had a fucking blast of time. He fucking streamed it. So I know there's some people that enjoy the shit out of it. But anyways, Hitman, I've heard, is good. Dishonored, I'm going to say some things about Dishonored.
Say some things about Dishonored.
I don't want to say
nothing. Oh, I'll let you say this because you helped me solve something the other night.
I didn't fucking help you. You guessed, and then I went and solved it on my own.
Oh, shit.
So, if for anybody,
okay, I helped, but I failed.
So for anybody that wants to, there's one really unique thing about Hitman. It has a stupid logic puzzle on one of the levels.
Not Hitman, Dishonored 2.
Dishonored 2. It's called the Jindosh Riddle. Let me tell you about the Jindosh Riddle.
Let's talk about the Jindosh Riddle.
There is no FAQ for it.
Cool.
You know why?
Why?
Because all the variables in the Jindosh Riddle change every time they randomize. It's a randomized riddle.
Yeah.
So
and it's complex as fuck.
You can't. So it's so complex that most people have not solved it. In fact, so I got the achievement because I guessed the last part. I sent it a series of screenshots to Babs to try to help me figure this out.
Uh-huh.
And
so you have the screenshots?
Can you read the riddle? You still have the screenshots, right?
I do. So you have to figure out what belongs to who, basically. Anybody who's actually done a logic puzzle, this is not real new to.
Right.
Okay, there was a dinner party. Lady Winslow, Dr. Marcola, Countess Conti, Madame Natsu, and Baroness Finch. The women sat in a row. They all wore different colors. Lady Winslow wore a jaunty purple hat.
Okay.
Dr. Marcola was at the far left next to the guest wearing a blue jacket. The lady in red sat left with someone in green. I remember the red outfit because the woman spilled her whiskey all over it. The traveler from Dubovka was dressed entirely in white. When one of the dinner guests bragged about her snuff tin, the woman next to her said they were finer in Dubovka where she lived. So Countess Conti showed off a prized war medal, at which the lady from Freyport scoffed, saying it was no match for her ring. Someone else carried a valuable bird pendant. And when she saw it, the visitor from Denwell next to her almost spilled her neighbor's absinthe. Baroness Finch raised a rum and toast. The lady from Carnica, full of wine, jumped up onto the table, falling onto the guest in the center and spilling the poor woman's beer. Then Madame Natsu captivated them all with a story about her wild youth in Bailton. In the morning, there were four heirlooms under the table, the snuff tin, diamond ring, and bird pendant, but who owned each? So, the one that he sent me was different.
Uh-huh.
Those I erased. I actually pulled this one up as a mock-up. It's online.
Okay.
But, first one was, we had a jaunty green hat.
Right.
And so there were all these variables. The red had beer instead of whatever it was.
So here's how it broke down. It broke down to a logic puzzle. Now, I don't know why I've never done this, but I've never done a logic puzzle the way that she's done a logic puzzle. I didn't realize it was a series of squares.
Yes.
I was literally just, this is how I've done it on every test, and I usually score pretty high on these.
Uh-huh.
I usually just take all the variables and write down all the variables, and then I go through and assign it. So once I figured out it was an order of five, wrote 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 across the top of the paper. I wrote down everybody's name, where I thought it was, when it didn't correlate with the variable. So I got it down to about 90%, and then I guessed that last part until I got it.
Huh.
She went through and created a grid in Excel and figured it out on her own work.
I totally did.
She figured it out through a logic puzzle, and I figured it out this other way. I spent an hour and a half doing this, and you probably spent like an hour at work doing it, right?
Not even.
Well,
but here's how it fills up a whole page of grid paper.
Mm-hmm.
It's a stupid amount of variables. You got the type of drink, you got the color of clothes, you have the name, you have the item,
and
you
have
the location they're from.
Right.
Five variables, five people, five items, and they all have to match. And it's on a door, so you get this riddle, and you can get the code from somebody in the level. Or you can solve it on your own. And to get to the next part of the level, you have to get past this door. So there is part of it where you can use some subterfuge and you can take out the guy that has the riddle and he'll have it on him. You can break into his room and find the riddle written on a piece of paper in a safe that you have to get a separate combination for. Or you can straight up use what's there and figure out the riddle. So we both figured out the damn riddle. And I didn't know that, right? So I just came to this point.
He guessed.
I guessed the last 10%.
He guessed.
the last 10%, and I felt pretty good about that.
I solved it.
You solved it. Jesus fuck. But, yeah, it was... I was one of the more difficult riddles I've ever had to solve, and I was impressed that it was in the game, and then I was further impressed because I got frustrated, and I was like, I'm just going to look it up and get past it, and then I look it up, and it says, this riddle is randomized. All the variables are randomized every time you go into this game. Yeah. Every time that you come up to this level, it is going to load random variables for all this stuff. The story will be the same, but it's all randomized. It's like, I was like, this is actually fucking intelligent.
It is brilliant.
So I give props to Arkane Studios for throwing that in there because I thought it was an interesting part of the gameplay. There are parts about Dishonored that are not very graceful, I'll give it that. So I'm playing the female character, the Empress, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she's got different powers than Corvo does. And I haven't even unlocked all the powers because I haven't found all the runes. But I'll spend a good 2 or 3 hours on a level, like, finding everything because the runes unlock your powers. And in order for me to get those powers, I have to find the runes, which means I'm going to have to go around scavenging everything and playing. It's kind of like playing Thief, but you can play a lot more maniacal. There is a really cool power with your teleport. So she didn't have a teleport. She basically looks at a place, you hit the trigger, it shows an arc about what your trajectory is going to be, and you kind of, like, go in like, the Flash or something. You, like, not quite teleport over there in an arc over to the spot that you're pointing at. And you don't have any further forward momentum, so you kind of, like, zip. It's almost like ziplining to a place.
So it's kind of like, you know, kind of like a force leap.
Yeah, something like that, right?
A force leap.
So it's kind of like that. But you can flip it around and at the tail end of the power, you can grab enemies with it.
Except I heard it as a force sleep, like a foreskin, but sleeping. So, yeah.
That's what he does. He sits there... blanks his mind, stares at the ceiling, and force sleeps.
So, wow. So you can force grab these characters and pull them towards you, and as they're flying through the air, you got a split second to knock them out or to knife them. And I've been playing High Chaos, because also when I'm playing High Chaos, when I kill them, they disappear.
Right.
So they shoot towards me in an arc, they're flipping end over end, and sometimes they'll crash into something and die. Because it's, again, they fly at an arc. So if I'm on top of a balcony going through an archway to grab this guy, I may grab him by the foot and flip him around, and he may, like, ragdoll and flip his head against the other side of the arch facing me and die. Or I'll get a good open space where I can grab him, and I'll pull him up to this ledge that I'm on, and then I'll catch them and knife him or catch them and put him asleep.
Jeez.
That's actually pretty fucking fun. But it's not very graceful. The sword combat's not super graceful. You can...
Never was.
Somebody comes at you with their sword, you can block it and time it right, stagger them, and then stab them.
That's the way the original was.
I mean, yeah, and I did get it. I was one of the ones that I got, I guess, day one, because it released on a Thursday, and I was up there getting my headset, and I was like, oh, Dishonored came out. I should get that. Oh, it comes with Dishonored 1, the redone edition for Xbox as well. This is a great deal. I'm paying the same amount of the game, I'm getting it the same day, and then they give me, you know, the first game too. So I may play the first game again at some point. And I need to play it again as Corvo. It's got a lot of replayability. It's just, until you get into a good rhythm, it's not very graceful on how you do things. Because it's not like you magnetically pull into this graceful animation when you jump down to attack somebody.
Right.
It's like, if you land correctly, like when you're jumping down, if you're at a reasonable rate of speed, and they're not, like, on a ledge, and you're, like, not quite lined up, like, you can miss them and totally fuck it up, and then everybody's on alert trying to attack you because you went by, and instead of, like, stabbing this guy in the face on the way down, you basically, like, caught your elbow on the railing and, like, tumbled ass over tea kettle. You know what I mean? So, like, you can totally fuck it up and be, like, completely ungraceful. Like the Hobbit assassin. Like, there's just nothing graceful about you. The Hobbits aren't ninjas, right? So it's, you know, it's just like you totally bungle things half the time. So, it takes some getting used to that, or, like, when you totally fuck up and I have to use my gun and just start shooting everybody. Like, there are a lot of the times where I fuck up, like, majorly and have to play it off. And then they have the witches from the DLC, so the people that have powers, too, that will, like, disappear and reappear next to you, disappear and reappear, and then they have these, like, flechettes that they shoot out of their hands. It's like a shotgun blast on top of having knives, so they're fucking dangerous as shit. And creepy as fuck, too. Because they're all, like, have like these gaping wounds where they've been infected with this parasite and all this other shit. But like overall, like my, it's not super graceful, but it's still pretty fun. Is it, I'm still like on the edge of whether it's going to be like one of those like game of the years, but is it worth a play? It's been pretty fun. It got super dark at one point and I wasn't totally happy with how the story was panning out and I stopped playing it for a little bit to finish Tyranny. But, there's a really cool bit that I wish would have lasted longer in the game. There's a bit of time travel in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And you get a device, and I won't spoil what section it is in the game, but basically you go to this place, and there are time puzzles. Not that this is never done before, because it totally has been, right?
Right.
But you can flip up this visor on this timepiece. Kind of fans out like an old school, like Chinese fan, right? Mm-hmm. Like you had in school when you were a kid, right? So it, like, folds out into this fan, like, and through the lenses, you can see the other part of the level that's in that that time stream. And it's all happening real time. The level's, like, double rendering at the same time.
Wow.
So you can see, like, a patrol when this isn't all run down of guards and things that are going to happen. You hit the button, you go into that stream, take out that guard, and then flip back to the other stream. And then you're seeing everything as it's going. But it's only one level. Now, I spent like 4 hours in this level, but it was really fucking cool what they were doing with it. So you had puzzles where if you did this in the old time stream, it would affect it in the new time stream and vice versa. So if I do this, it'll no longer be here in this stream. You know, there'd be whole parts of the level that were completely blocked off and full of like fucking enemies in the later time stream that were completely empty in the prior one. So you'd zip back to that one, move through, go into the time stream long enough to take out this one enemy that's in this tight spot, and then zip back to the other time stream, hoping that there wasn't a guard that suddenly decided to patrol back there during that time.
Huh.
So, like, that was a really interesting piece of the puzzle that they had.
You know, I mean, it's not unheard of for a game company to try a new design in, you know, in a game that they're already creating. I mean, you know, for instance, Gwent, for fuck's sake. You know,
I'm playing the beta for that.
Yeah, I mean, Gwent was just was meant to be a little side
thing. Oh, I've put about an hour or two into that, too.
Right, but... I mean...
I finally got my code. I put in for the application for PC and Xbox, and then I got the Xbox code. So...
Jeez.
But it's totally multiplayer, so I haven't had a lot of time to mess with it. I'm way more familiar with that than I am with Hearthstone.
Well, I mean,
and it's got more cards. I'll talk about it a little bit. There's no NDA on it. It just says, just mention that it's a work in progress when you talk about it, if you talk about it on any kind of media. So it's work in progress.
Yeah. There you go. Work in progress.
I mean, there's still some things that still need to be fixed and addressed, but like overall, I'm having a blast with it.
But it's basically, it's the mini game from
The Witcher 1, 2, 3.
Yeah. And it's just a seven.
You know, was it in 2?
No. 2 is different. What was the mini game for 2?
Brawling.
Yeah.
Was it just Brawling? Because I thought there was an actual game, too.
Brawling, and there was a dice game.
There was a dice game. Yeah, the dice game. That's right.
Yeah, this Gwent was way better than dice game.
Yeah,
Gwent is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
That is, like, the most complex, like, mini game in any game I've ever played.
And
I wasted 30 hours to Gwent.
Exactly. And I did, too. I mean,
I collected almost every card. There was one card I couldn't find, and I found... if you fuck up in the early game and don't get the cards... from the barkeeps.
Right.
And I couldn't get those cards, or the card from the Baron.
You didn't get the card from the Baron?
Because I didn't play Gwent. I actually, when the first playthrough of 3, I didn't play Gwent until after the Baron. I realized somebody was talking to me about it, and I was like, though this is way deeper than you realize, you should try Gwent out. And I don't remember who told me that, but somebody told me that, and I started really getting into it. And I was like, fuck, this game is amazing.
Yeah.
I always spent whole days playing Gwent. But anyways, Dishonored's an interesting game. Like, I'm playing High Chaos because killing is actually really fun in that game. But it would present a total level of challenge to knock out so many different people. So I'm going to eventually, when I get more time, play as Corvo and try to knock out as many people as I can. I didn't get on Steam because they were having a lot of, like, day one issues with that game, which is why I eventually ended up picking it up at the game store. But, Dishonored is pretty fun. I'm not as impressed with the storyline as I am with Tyranny, because there's way more choice in Tyranny. And here's how Dishonored's set up. It's a level that you go into. So right. let's just say there's like 8 levels and they're all about 4 hours a piece, right? So that I think that's about the standard design for this. There's about 8 like total levels, and they really big areas with a whole bunch of choices on how you can solve each area and how you can find all the different things in the level to help you progress. It just feels a little bit disjointed because in order to level up, it's not the things that you do, it's the things you find.
Right.
And you don't get anything if you don't find things. You don't. So that means you need to search a lot of homes. You need to search for all these alternate routes. You end up, like, totally dissecting each chunk of the level. At least I do because I'm weird, right?
I don't think you're weird.
Here's the good thing about it. Think about Assassin's Creed 1, right? You had the feathers and they're all in ridiculous places. And you're basically
That was 2.
Was it 2? So anyways, you're finding them essentially for an achievement. You have to find these things to unlock your abilities. So there's runes and the charms unlock additional abilities, and the runes unlock the, your base abilities, right?
Right.
So you have to find those runes in order to progress your character. You also have to find blueprints to unlock additional specs in your character.
Right.
So, like, I got a crossbow that has, like, 6 different types of ammunition, plus it's now has piercing ability, so I can shoot 2 enemies in a row. I have a sleep dart that can either put them to sleep instantly or after a few seconds. You know, I have more than 1 shot in my gun now. You know, those kinds of things. So, but I had to find most of. There's a lot of those that are additional upgrades you find in each level. I'm not finding everything, which is a little bit annoying. So it's like, let's sell you the Primer Guide so you can find all this shit. But
you don't do that. You
just go but away. It makes you do the scavenger hunt in order to progress, which is a weird way of padding the levels. And I'm not entirely happy with that mission design choice.
Right.
Because you couldn't necessarily level up like an... Or it doesn't. It's an action game. It's not an RPG. But it has a lot of like Zelda-like trappings with, you know, do X to do Y. Here's 5 different ways to solve this puzzle. 5 different ways to infiltrate this. Every character that you have has a quote-unquote peaceful option where you don't kill them, and it's not always peaceful. I mean, I did something totally brain-damaged one character, right? Like, I'm not going to say how, but I basically turned him into an idiot. But I didn't kill him. I just made his life horrible the rest of his life.
Oh.
But that adds a little bit deeper level of being sinister, I suppose.
Yeah, that actually sounds slightly more horrible. Kudos to you.
So, like, it's just, like, all those additional choices with that. But it's just that pacing that causes it to be a little bit of a slog. Is it a good game? I think it's really good. It's not as graceful as it wants you to believe it is from looking at the previews. Because just about nobody plays as good as the people that are playing in those previews.
No.
Nobody is that badass with it. Because there's a lot of times that I'm sliding around trying to knock people out. And I end up killing the wait staff by accident. So it's just...
It was the same way with the first game, though. I mean...
Like, first-person sneaking, in theory, seems cool.
Yeah,
It's not the best.
It took me about halfway through the first one before I started feeling like I was doing it without completely fucking it up.
And for the most part, in the first game, I remember not being on street level at all, you know, unless I absolutely had to. I would go, you know,
like Assassin's Creed.
Yeah. You know, I would just be on top. And of course, if I remember correctly, there was still 1 or 2 guards that would be on top of the buildings.
There's plenty of guards in this that are on top of the buildings. And you always have to get past the gate, which means pulling out the whale battery or the.
Oh, yes.
Or turning off the windmill or going to the security thing to defuse it.
They still used. Whale oil
is powering everything. Yes. There's an underlying theme of whale massacre in this game.
Yes, there is. And it was in the first game, too.
Yeah, which is a weird thing to pick.
It's part of the steampunk style.
I will say this. Somebody in some place on wherever on the internet compared it to Half-Life 2.
Really?
And its feeling of the creation of the world. And the world design on this is very dystopian, even though it's set in like somewhere 19th century.
Mm.
So there is a early 20th century because there's electricity and shit, right? And electric powered trains and whatever.
It's
a weird alternate timeline. Tesla, right. You know, took over and Edison, nobody knows who Edison is, right? So it's weirdly dystopian and the level design has some, because they're big open areas that have things that have been closed off or walled off like almost a, you know, like in Half-Life 2, like there would be big areas of the city have been overbuilt and blocked off.
Right.
They've done that with this. Like there's huge because, but it's all made out of wood, which is weird. It's like taking whole buildings and trussed it in wood to cover up a part of the city that you can't access. And then there's this whole infection thing. So these whole buildings that are tinted that have like holes cut in them where people have gotten in, where there are infected people inside there and blood flies, which are really fucking annoying. And crazy, like, people that are in there that have some, like, weird superpowers because they're infected. It's just weird. You know, it's a weird game. It really jumps into the supernatural, which I didn't expect as much. You don't get much of that in the first game until you play the DLC. So...
Well, I mean, you kind of did.
Your weird magic occult powers.
The supernatural really wasn't really heavily broken into until the final third of the game.
Well, I remember a situation where you're basically, you know, going through a nightmare scenario. Yeah,
final third of the game.
Right.
Yeah, you basically like Indy's chapter with like your spirit guide like telling you kind of what to do and how things are panning out, and it's weird. There are multiple ways to solve it. The story, I think, will mostly remain the same throughout the game. The only choice being basically how many people did you kill along the way, and that deciding the outcome of the end of the game. It keeps making it very clear that you're high chaos or low chaos every time that you know complete a level. It tells you very clearly, this is how many blueprints you missed, this is all the money you missed, this is how many runes and charms that you missed. So, like, there's all that.
Huh.
But yeah, it's pretty cool. Level design in it is pretty fucking awesome. It's just, I don't know where I'm going to put it at the end of the year. There's just so much coming out. Like, as far as, like, how fun it is, now look at, when I get away from the aesthetics of the game, it's still pretty fun, but just, I don't know if it's going to hit me like Dead Rising 4 might hit me.
Okay.
I'm going to play that, and it's going to be like a fucking theme park of carnage.
Well, I mean, the original Dishonored wasn't... Sounds festive. I didn't put that at the top of my list at all. I mean, it was a good game, and it was a neat concept, sure.
They've built on it. I think it's better than the first game.
But, I mean, it didn't ever actually hit me as a really great game. And it might be just because I'm not that big into the steampunk, you know, the steampunk style. You know, it's different in a way for me. I mean, I accept a sci-fi situation more than I would a steampunk situation. And that's just a personal preference. It's not anything against the game or the creators. It's just, that's my personal preference.
Is Dead Rising 4 festive? Yes.
Really?
It's...
What?
There's mech suits.
Oh, jeez. And
big Hulk fists and everything else.
Zombies!
And selfies.
And selfies?
I mean, how do you say that is not just a ridiculous level of amazing? That is like one of the best screenshots I've seen in a while.
That's
ridiculous.
What is he doing? What is that?
It's a Lego Spester.
It's a Lego head on a flaming sword in the middle of a bunch of zombies.
I was over Dead Rising when Dead Rising was Dead Rising. Not Dead Rising 2 or 3, but Dead Rising itself.
It's definitely not taking itself seriously. I mean, come on.
It never did.
It's even better now.
It never did. I mean,
the main hero is a chunky dude who's a photographer that is, like, surviving somehow.
Because that makes sense. Jesus.
Yeah, this will be the best.
Zombies.
The only way you get any more not taking yourself seriously is, like, if we actually got Saints Row the Fifth.
Oh, God.
It's definitely, like, almost the same vein as Saints Row with zombies. I mean, that's one of the suits you can get.
With a green laser saber.
Laser saber, yes.
Laser saber.
Is that like sharks with freaking laser beams?
Sharks with freaking laser beams. On your freaking heads.
On your freaking heads.
Just saying, female robots with guns for titties.
But
Fedbots.
Anyways, I've talked pretty for a while. Awesome. I did actually play games, so I made up for that.
Yeah, you did. I've been doing shit on track. I mean, I'm trying. I'm looking for that game. And there's a lot of games that I just can't afford.
I kind of want to know why you and Jason were whispering and pointing at me like two junior high little girls a minute ago.
We didn't giggle.
You didn't giggle, but...
We were making a comment that's not allowed on the show.
What kind of comment is not... Oh, no.
Right,
no,
so... No. And that's why we were pointing and laughing.
No, why would you point and laugh at me about
politics? I pointed at my computer, not at you.
Oh, I thought it was at me. No. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the Christmas music has affected your brain.
Probably.
Jeez, it sucks.
So are we taking a break?
Yeah.
All right, fine. But I swear, if I hear one peep of Christmas music during the break, I'm going to go insane. We'll be right back.
And this is the part of the show where all of us start dying.
I've been dying for hours. Oh my god.
I've been dying
inside since 18 years old.
You're the only motherfucker left on a true second shift. I don't want to fucking hear it.
Life.
I got rest today.
My shift changes.
Mine does too. 3 times a week.
Jesus.
I got sleep today. I didn't really ask for it.
You woke up from a nap and came here. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, we hate you.
I'm awake.
I have been up for 18 fucking hours.
I'm awake to my own detriment. Yay. Shit.
So, all that shit aside.
We are all tired of adulting.
Oh, God, adulting really does suck.
Why can't it all be free? Having a work ethic is a bitch. I think I should just go and become a millennial.
Oh, God. Like I was talking about before the show, I have a fleet of ambulances I can loan out if you need a hug.
No, we got plenty of those working up at our place, too.
Oh, no, it's not as bad as the place where I used to be. At all.
I know my good point, but there's plenty. Need I remind you, to cover you guys so that I'm here when you are, I'm working 3 shifts. I work a mid, a close, and an open.
Right. Well, I can't really complain about my particular position.
Like, leadership's
either.
Like always about doing the hard thing first, right? Hopefully other people will fall in line. Anybody that whines about schedule, I'm just like, I'm sorry.
I was like, when I have
this guy that works behind me that put in 190 hours last pay period.
Jeez. So quit your bitching.
Yeah, no.
I was like, his kids will have a Christmas.
Right, exactly.
Yours won't. His will.
Some of my coworkers have to be on 24/7 on-call status, so they could get 2 hours of sleep and have to work an entire day, you know, because... You know, some fucking server went down someplace in some business and they have to drive about an hour and a half to go get to it, work on it, and then drive home and then do the rest of their day. So I can't complain about anything at work ever because I'm not on that call. I'm not on a call like that.
Yeah.
Oh, God. As soon as they can, they'll probably throw me on it. And that'll be fun.
Yeah, Mr. Rising Star.
Oh man, it's just like
again.
Oh, I guess in order to, for the most part, most people in order to progress through life have to sacrifice a little bit.
Fuck that, man! Why can't I have it all?
You said the S word.
Sacrifice.
So, yes. Yeah, just so you all know, there is the official. Unofficial, non-sponsored drink of the Tilcast.
Oh my god, the freaking...
I almost took a picture of that earlier. I think it needs to happen.
We
We should ask them for a sponsorship at this point.
Yeah, really we should.
You should take a picture of that trash can.
Because Rusty, Justin, and I are all addicted to this Rockstar Pure Zero lemonade.
I have enough hard time drink, sleep. Oh, God, I'm getting incoherent.
Exactly. Yes. You want one?
I can't.
There are currently five of them sitting on the table, and there's about 20 in a trash can over
there. Only 20?
The
no, there's more than 20. That trash can is stupid.
That's true. That trash can is overflowing.
It needs to be dumped.
If those were beer cans, it would look like a frat party.
Oh, man. Yeah, there's a lot of money right there.
A lot. Hey, Rockstar, shout out.
Yeah. Shout out.
Yeah, well, we take sponsorships.
I'll take it. If these guys won't,
we will shamelessly spot you.
Oh yeah,
several times throughout our podcast.
All kinds of plugs. In fact,
to do with video games.
Rockstar. Every time we open the show, you hear one of your cans being opened.
Yeah, that's just always a Rockstar can.
It's always a Rockstar can. So there you go. All right. Seamus, plug aside.
That's how we stay awake for this.
Holy fuck, I need that on my wall.
Oh hell
fuck,
yes.
That is cool.
Somebody did
like a Witcher mural.
Oh, yeah.
Bloody hell.
Can I get that on a display, please? Thank you.
That's fucking cool. I'm actually going to see if that is a thing I could buy. So that was really random. My ADD's kicking in.
Yes, it is.
Well, yeah, it
so
is.
So that being said, there are things and stuff, right?
Seven things. Besides Rusty's continual launches.
I mean, the Last Guardian's coming out, right? Which is actually why I'm taking off the 6th and 7th.
Yes.
So I'll be playing that along with Dead Rising. We got Final Fantasy coming out. That's the other thing I want to play. Just why I was getting so much out of the way. And there's new DLC. I'm like compacting this news together, right?
Yes, you are.
There's some new DLC. What was that space game I was playing a lot of that I said everybody should play? Halcyon 6.
Halcyon 6, yes.
Free DLC coming out for that soon.
Okay, that is a game that I'll probably play.
You should play that.
Okay.
We found a game. Because I haven't finished it yet.
Okay. All right, fine, I'll do it.
And you can play it in little bitty chunks, too.
Okay. All right.
You could easily drop 50 hours into it, too.
So, all right. I think it's right here, in fact.
And it just keeps getting better.
It's $20. I'm going to buy it, and it'll be $10 next week, but hey, I'll buy it now. Right now. Click. Done. All right.
There's a game you can play.
I've been meaning to play it anyway, and it was on sale for a minute, and I missed it.
It's pretty fucking rad.
Add to cart. It makes noise when you add it to cart. Wow.
Did you guys notice that the Xbox achievements started making different noises? It's like a twinkling noise now.
Yeah, somebody gave me an achievement on ESPN.
I did.
Damn bastard.
I did. I go over there last night. So yesterday was kind of nuts because we had combined birthday party for both the toddlers yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Rusty's there. Jeez. He comes over to the house afterward, bring the kids his gifts, whatever. And I'm like, I still got to go hang your other drapes and build a piece of furniture.
It's because so I don't have power tools. It's the only reason why he's coming over and doing that shit.
I head up to his house at like 9:30. Yeah. Get up there and I'm like, you know what? OU game's still going. I'm going to watch that shit.
On ESPN. On my fucking... You know, alright, so my Xbox didn't have ESPN downloaded because I normally either watch that shit...
On my TV.
I did on your TV, or I just go to ESPN.com.
Yeah.
On my PC, because reasons. So I never downloaded on my Xbox. As soon as you download that and play it the first time, you get an achievement, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
An achievement for watching.
I don't even know what the fuck the achievement was called.
You know, and funny thing is I was getting achievements for watching the CBSN as well. I think that, you know, that happened. And ABC News gets achievements, too.
There are achievements for everything. Everything's a little achievement crazy now.
Man, I want an achievement for pooping. Can I get an achievement for pooping?
I get that every day.
I
mean, you,
I wonder if you say, hey, Cortana, I got poop, if you get an achievement.
I'm glad I don't have that set up on my computer right now. Oh, my gosh.
But, so, like, in the world of actual news, there's not a whole lot out right now.
No, there's not.
I mean, Last Guardian coming out is news in itself. Final Fantasy finally coming out is news in itself. And I'm actually going to try that out. I just don't know exactly when, but I will be trying it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yay!
And if I don't get to be on the show, then I'll have even more to talk about the following week. But because that comes out next... the week after next?
Yeah. Week after.
I think. I need to pull up the game release schedule.
But, I mean, we're at the news light period. I mean, there's not really going to be any until after the new year.
Well, I mean, there's going to be some, but it's not going to be...
We've got
all this PS4 Pro stuff.
Because here's the thing. All the publishers and developers, if they have anything negative, they're going to hold out until after the holiday season's over.
Well, it's like I was trying to make a decision on if I'm going to play Ashes of Arendelle for Dark Souls, and apparently it's like 2 or 3 hours, 4 hours tops. And I was thinking to myself, I was like, I got plenty of other things to talk about before then. I can put that off till next year if I need to.
Yeah, true.
I mean, there are plenty of big games coming out. It's going to take me a while. Apparently, like, Watch Dogs 2 is doing pretty good, but I just wasn't as much, you know, I'm picking and choosing at this point, right?
Right. Well, not only that, I mean, it's kind of hard to go play something when you were burned by the first game.
I know, they burned it pretty hard, so I'm just not that excited about it.
And the fact that they're...
Final Fantasy comes out the week after Thanksgiving.
The new Watch Dogs encourages group play from most everything I've watched on it.
Really?
Which is weird.
Group play. Well, yeah. I don't know, Watch Dogs was supposed to have a really cool mobile element to it that I was really excited for.
Yeah, no, this is like actually playing together, you and your buds, in the same world.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, because you're not,
because I know so you're not one
hacker,
right now.
You're right. Part of a hacker group.
You're part of a group.
Right.
Yeah.
Yay.
But, yeah, to me, Last Guardian is probably the biggest newsworthy thing, and Final Fantasy, like, to me, those are kind of must-plays for the end of the year. And honestly, I'm more excited about Dead Rising than I am those two. Maybe not so much Dead... The Last Guardian might be super fucking interesting. But, you know, because...
If nothing else, it looks extremely stylistic, which is...
I really like Ico. I really like Shadow of Colossus. I just, you know, they haven't put out anything in a million years.
Right. They needed to get this out, and it's been delayed and delayed and delayed.
It was like a game in development for 10 years.
But the same thing happened for Final Fantasy. That was delayed multiple times too. I think
originally we were talking about it was going to come out earlier this year, a lot earlier this year.
Yeah, it was originally like first quarter this year.
Yeah, so I mean, December, the month where you finally get the game you were supposed to have, fucking 9 months ago. It's like birth of a child.
All that shit happens after the holidays, and it's just kind of or in between holidays, right?
Yeah.
I'll have plenty to do, even though I got to work fucking Christmas. So
the only other story that I was able to find was, you know, because I consume a lot of YouTube stuff, and you know, and I watch a lot of YouTube channels, and what I saw kind of surprised me is EA's, you know, is saying to any of the content creators, streamers, or influencers, as they call them, that they have to indicate whether or not, if they're talking about an EA game, they have to put a watermark on their thing, use specific hashtags saying that they're either supporting or, you know, promoting their the content for an EA game, and that's a large amount of stupid and. It just, it makes it so that each, you know, it says any YouTuber, streamer, otherwise active influencer who enters into a collaboration with EA and their content creation and does not yet use their own labeling system is now now requested to use our hashtags and watermarks, and they provide that to them.
Are we going to have to do that?
I don't think so, because, I mean, we're not a video, we don't have video podcasting, we did at one point, but, I mean, I don't know. I mean, we're not getting any money from EA. It's pretty much free advertising to our audience when we talk about an EA game, so it's not like we're officially supporting them, but...
They specifically reference the content creators, and I think that's more because of the streamers and the YouTubers.
Right.
They're actually making money off of
showcasing
their content.
If we made money, it would be completely different, yeah. Come on now. Sponsor us! It'd be nice just to have it.
If nothing else, give us some rock stars.
Or maybe a couple free games. That'd be cool too. But it's just interesting to see. I mean, the stuff that I see is supported by EA and advertisement. EA is the two watermarks that I see on here. So it's just, it's so that content can be explicit as like an advertisement,
right?
Or if it was, or if EA was paying for advertisement or a support from a YouTube channel, and it's going to be very clear, which is not always the case on some YouTube channels. You don't see all that, but a lot of the YouTube channels that I watch will have a blurb at the end saying, or they'll have a link in their description saying this was a paid advertisement for an EA game, or I received money from EA to do this. So maybe this is just a way to make it a little more transparent.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, otherwise, because I don't remember talking about, did y'all watch all of the N7 Day trailer? Like, all of it?
All of N7 Day? What did you see that I didn't see? What did you see that I didn't see?
They released another small little snippet.
Uh-huh.
In addition to the 2-minute trailer.
Uh-huh.
That most people glossed over. That actually show their dad.
Okay.
Pretty freaking cool. Find it.
Okay. Okay. I'll see.
I just can't wait for that game.
All right.
Well, with that...
I need that game.
We don't have much else, right?
Now.
No, I'm good.
All right, close us out, Jason.
All right, find us at tiltcast.com. Find us on Facebook and Twitter.com/tiltcast. Find our YouTube channel at youtube.com/therealtiltcast and search for us on iTunes.
Find friends of the show For the Love of Gaming. The TV... Oh, fucking Christ.
Oh, my God.
For the Love of Gaming, we have thecarouselpodcast.com. We have bmfcast.com, noquarters.net, and tvgp.tv. They do good things.
Yes!
With that, it's the end of the goddamn show.
And we're going to sleep.
Bye.
Peace.